prayers, it's sermon illustrations. It's a comforting thought because it's what we want, isn't it? We want the storms of our lives to be calm. We want smooth waters as we walk through. The reality is storms continue a bit. Rarely do we get the storms just all went away with us. And if one storm goes away, it seems that another one rises up to take its place in our lives. Why doesn't Jesus calm the storms in our lives? Why doesn't that seem to apply to us? I want to take a little bit more careful look at what Mark is telling us here and telling us about this particular event in the life of Jesus, because I actually don't think that's what Mark was promising us. And I don't think that's what Jesus was promising us. Actually, Mark tells us pretty directly what question he was trying to answer with this. But the disciples look at one another and they said, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" It's about demonstrating the identity of Jesus. It's not about making a promise of how Jesus is going to deal with each of us and all the storms in our lives. In fact, Jesus only calmed the storm once. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell us about the same event. But it's only one time did Jesus actually deliberately calm the storm. Now, if you were a student of the Bible, you may remind me that when Jesus came to them walking on the water, the storm was still. But if you read those accounts, you'll see that it wasn't that Jesus calmed the storm, but that when he got in the boat, it was calm, and that was just incidental to the story. There's only the one account of Jesus actually calming the storm. You see, so this isn't a pattern. This isn't a routine way that Jesus functioned with his people. And Mark and the other Gospels, in fact, record it because it was unique and because it was very important in their memory. You see, the people of Jesus' day were very in tune to the idea that only God had authority over creation. So, for instance, when we read the lesson from Job this morning, when God comes back and challenges Job, "Where were you when I laid out the earth and its measurements? Surely you know. If you're so smart, you can manage all these things." God alone is the designer of creation, and God alone has authority over the powers of creation. The psalm that we sang also speaks of God having authority to calm the storms, calm the waves. So you see, for the people of Jesus' day, for the disciples, for them this was a very clear and important demonstration that Jesus is in fact not just a prophet, not just another itinerant preacher, but in fact the living Son of God, the Messiah, the one whom God has sent to us with his full authority. Then Mark goes on to tell us about Jesus casting demons out of a man and into a herd of pigs, and then about healing a young girl, and then finally about a woman who was healed by touching the hem of his garment, and then finally it culminates with the raising of Jairus' daughter. And so you see, it's a very clear and deliberate pattern to show us who Jesus is. Not to show us the pattern of the kinds of things that Jesus is promising to do in each of our lives, but to show us who he is, that he is the one with authority over all these things, over the storms, over sickness, over demons, and even over death. That's why Jesus did it, and that's why Mark tells us about it. Where does that leave us? We still got storms, don't we? There's There's still a hurricane out there. We still have difficulties. We have pain. We have loss. We have loved ones who are ill. We ourselves are ill. There are plenty of storms in our lives. Are we just to fend for ourselves? No, I don't think so. I think this gospel has at least two very specific promises for us. The first promise is that we are offered faith as an antidote to fear. Remember what Jesus said when they woke him up and said, do you not care that we are perishing? And Jesus said to them, why do you have fear? Do you still have no faith? His challenge to them was that by this time, faith, that is trust in Jesus, should have replaced fear. So what we're promised, you see, is not that everything outside of us is going to be smooth and easy. What we're promised is that we have a faith that can carry us through those things. And I don't know about you, but I find that a lot more comforting. Because I know that stuff doesn't necessarily get smoothed out in life. It doesn't always work out the way that we want. What I need, and what I think we all need, is faith in the one who has the authority over those things, in the one who can indeed carry us through the storms and the sickness and the demons and even death. And this is not just generic, have faith that everything will work out okay in the end. This is faith in the presence of a very specific Messiah, the person of Jesus, who promises to be with us in the midst of the storms of our lives. And that's the second promise that we're made, is that Jesus is with us in the storm. We are not left alone. We are not left abandoned. You may not always settle the storm exactly the way we want. You may not always settle the storm right away. But what he does promise is that he will be there. He will be with us. The one who has authority, the one who is part of the very creation of this order, promises to be with us, and his purposes will be accomplished. Now remember, Jesus' purpose is not to make your life easy and smooth. I'm sorry, I wish it were. Preaching would be a lot easier if that's what Jesus promised us. But it's not. What Jesus promised us, what his purposes are, is that you and I are with him. We are promised that love and fellowship with our Creator. And that's what carries us through whatever else may come. His purpose will be accomplished through the storm, through the demons being cast into the hurricanes, through sickness, even sometimes through death. So, we need not fear. We need not fear, not because the storm has come, but because we can trust the one who walks with us, the one who shares the journey with us, the one who doesn't shrink away from those. And that has some very practical applications for you. Let me tell you about something that happened to me when I was visiting someone who had cancer that had gone throughout the body, and their time was coming to an end. And we're talking about that, talking about how they come to trust God, but in a different way in the midst of that struggle. And as we were talking, another friend came in to visit. And this other friend starts this kind of chorus of, oh, you're going to be fine. You're going to get better. You'll see. It's all going to be okay. And I could see the person looking at me with this get so caught up in the idea that the storm has to be still, that we try to force ourselves to live a lie, that we try to force ourselves to not face the reality of the situation in which we find ourselves. And then what happens is we miss the opportunity to know that Jesus is with us. We miss the opportunity to build the faith that gives us the confidence to walk through the storm. By trying to live a falsehood. We don't have to fear. We don't have to pretend that the storm isn't there. We can instead walk with confidence that the one who created all of it walks with us through the storm. And through the walking in the storm will bring us to his purposes. That we would know him, that we would trust him, that we would be with him for eternity. Now let me make one further suggestion, and you probably are tired of me harping on this. But you don't get to wait until the storm is raging and the lightning is blasting and say, oh, Jesus, please be with me. That trust, that confidence in him, comes by that steady life turned to him. The steady life of worship and prayer and the reading of scripture and service to others. And when we build that into our lives and we learn that trust in the easier places, then when the hard times come, we can find it. We can hold on to it in those moments of struggle. In those moments of extreme pain and loss and suffering and lightning and hurricanes and winds and whatever else may be blowing around us. So you see, what we're promised is not that we need to pretend that the storm isn't there. What we are promised is that we have a Savior who walks with us through the storm. We can begin that walk now, anytime. We don't have to wait for the storm. He's there today and tomorrow and every day. We can begin that walk with you so that when you're feeling the storm,